From the Sunshine State, this is Tampa Bay's Tan Talk.
There was a fungus among us. There was a rumble in the jungle. There was a static in the attic, a moaning and a groaning, a fungus among us.
Among us these days, isn't there? Or is it a virus, a myrus? It's one or the other. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works. I am Paul Molloy. Coronavirus free, I'll have you know. And along with my coronavirus free buddy, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us on this Friday the 13th. Yeah, everything that's going wrong, and now it's Friday the 13th. Feeling lucky or unlucky? Huh? I'll tell you what, we're going to be joined in a few minutes with Joel Griffith of the Heritage Foundation. We've been watching the stock market crumble. We're feeling helpless. Well, Joel's going to talk about the fiscal response we need to take to make things go the other way. So let's listen to that, right? Let's find out together. And China, things aren't bad enough. But where the whole thing started, China may threaten to withhold life-saving pharmaceuticals from the U.S. What? Partly in the face of the tariff troubles with us, as their coronavirus infections seem to be slowing, by the way. We're going to talk about all of this and how America should respond to it with the proprietor of the coronavirus-free barber pole, Andrew Ceresi. So stay tuned for that as well. And is there a chance that California would vote for Trump? Well, I'll tell you what, it's a possibility. And we're going to tell you why. And in our ultimate top 10, speaking of California, we have found the top 10 greatest movies of all time. Of all time. We're going to find out if Big Ed knows what's number one. So stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works comes to you every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday on the Great Tan Talk Radio Network, sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop for the best haircut, you guys. Especially, you got to look your best when the coronavirus is around. If your hair's too long, it might get stuck in your hair. So you got to go over to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. It's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 in the Overcash Plaza. They are open Tuesday through Saturday. So get over there. Get your hair cut. You want to look good, you're going to feel good. If you're feeling good, you're not going to get the virus. Also, I want to remind you, please visit our website, ourfreedomworks.com. Hear our show anytime you want. Our show is so good, you want to hear it again. Big Ed sets up all of our shows on podcast, ourfreedomworks.com. Okay, Ed, it's becoming surreal. I know you're probably, we're talking with Paul on Hello Tampa Bay or whatever the show is.
Good morning, Clearwater.
Well, it's the same thing. Hello Tampa Bay, good morning, Clearwater. How you doing, St. Petersburg? Tell them to change it to how you doing, St. Petersburg, will you? Anyway, I know you've been talking about it all day. You're probably tired of talking about it, but it's getting surreal. It's getting, I've never experienced anything like this in my life.
Yeah, yesterday, about 2:30, I was sitting there and my phone just started going off. And I was getting messages from the Tampa Bay Lightning saying that the season was on pause. Major League Baseball was on pause. And they were just going 1, 2, 3. And I had such an event-filled weekend. It was just wiped out in a matter of 5 minutes.
Yeah.
How fast. I mean... Everybody followed suit. I guess the NBA started it, and then everybody followed suit. you know, we had locally here, we had the Valspar Championship that was supposed to be this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, we had the Grand Prix this weekend.
They're still going to run the Grand Prix.
They are, but no spectators allowed. And there was this thing in downtown Safety Harbor called Bands on the Bay, a big event, 4,000 people last year that I was going to be broadcasting live from.
Oh, wow.
That was canceled. So it's just like everything was wiped out. My calendar's open this weekend.
Well, anybody that
somebody call me.
Big Ed is feeling lonely because of the virus. You know what, Ed? These things that they're canceling is like the virus catching.
Right.
They're canceling faster than the virus is spreading.
I think like local events, they're following suit because you know that if business A stays open through this thing and somebody goes there and contracts a virus and God forbid they die from it, do you know what? You know there's going to be a lawsuit. You should have closed. Everybody should have closed.
Oh, absolutely.
You should have closed like everybody else. So.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not faulting anybody. Not at all. You absolutely understand it.
But
you can't have one person catch it without suffering the consequences.
Right.
Let's be honest. But now Tom Hanks, America's Humphrey Bogart or whatever, greatest actor, has it. And his wife. Prime Minister's wife in Canada has it. It is. Let's be honest.
It
is spreading.
But look, if you're going to go to the grocery store and stuff, I mean, this should not affect you.
No.
You wipe your hands, you know.
Yeah.
Even Walmart.
Wash your hands.
Walmart still has, you know, the sanitizer right there when you walk in, the towels. Use those things, you know.
I was just there, by the way, speaking of them, and I was a little worried. I needed to get those big plastic jars of soap, of liquid soap.
Right.
And
they're all gone.
No.
Oh, really?
No. I was going to say it's there. At least it was there the other day when I went. Also, I was a little bit worried about paper towels.
Okay.
I was thinking people washing their... I had no problem getting paper towels.
What's the reason for the run on toilet paper?
There is none. Isn't that funny? I mean,
that's not funny when you got to go.
I know it, but maybe because people think, well, I'm going to be sniffling all the time if I get this thing, so I better have...
Yeah,
that might be the reason.
Right, I thought maybe the tissues were run out.
We use toilet paper for more than one reason.
Yeah, yeah.
So paper is one of the things that... absolutely right. And even when I went to the Walmart, which is, by the way, one of the Walmart food stores. You know the one. It's on Main Street, Dunedin.
Mm-hmm.
I go there all the time. Prices are good there, I have to admit.
And, you know, looking beyond this thing, I mean, this is such a... I mean, 9/11 was one thing. That was kind of around New York and Washington and, of course, the one in...
Yes,
and that, but
it was localized.
It affected us because everything kind of shut down for a couple of days, and then we got going on. Everybody's now saying we're going to be shut down for 2 weeks. And my point is here that this is something new. We had to... 9/11 changed the way we get on an airplane. The way we fly in an airplane, you know, the cabin doors being bolted, you know, you being strip searched, whatever to go in, you're inconvenienced because you got to go. This thing, they got to find a way that this doesn't happen again because it's destroying the economy, and it's doing exactly what they wanted. So now we have to make sure that this doesn't happen again. And how are we going to handle it if it happens again? I mean, do we immediately shut all the borders down? Period. Whether you like it or not, nobody in or out. Or you can go out, but you can't come in.
Yeah.
We better learn from this.
Yeah. By the way, the stock market is up 648 points right now. So that's good news. We want to keep we want the stock market to go up.
And I
want it to go up.
Who the morons that said we're now officially in a recession?
Nobody knows. And we're not.
Because
this is a yo-yo right now.
I know. And do you know that how many people are going to want to buy into the stock market? Because everything...
Cause they should.
People are not losing their money. The stock market's losing their money. People, investors are going to be like, you know, maybe you and me, maybe I can get in on something real quick.
Well, exactly.
Because you know it's going to shoot right back up.
Exactly right. Exactly right. We're going to take our break. Hey, when we come back, we're going to actually talk about that very topic, and we're going to talk about fiscal responsibility in the face of the coronavirus.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on Friday the 13th with the coronavirus flying all around us. You just hate to get out of bed in the morning sometimes, you know? But we're here, and we're feeling good, and we're delighted to have Joel Griffith join us from the Great Heritage Foundation, where he is a research fellow in the Roe Institute, and he knows something about fiscal responsibility, and he's going to talk to us about how we should handle this whole thing from an economic fiscal perspective. By the way, the last time I looked, Joel, the stock market was up about 600 points. Should I be excited or what?
Well, it's always good news when you wake up and the market is up decently, but this is just recovering a small fraction of what we lost over the past few weeks. This is truly historic. We've never gone from a record high to a bear market in such a short period of time. So certainly some relief this morning. And hope this is the hopeful that this is the beginning of a recovery, but this has definitely created some disturbances in our economic system, and we'll just see going from here.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. I have a lot of money stuck. Well, a lot of money, relatively speaking, in the stock market, in 401ks, IRAs. I mean, my knees are wobbly. I'm worried. And then I'm thinking to myself, well, why don't you just relax? Because it will come back up again. But, we've never been through this. So I want to talk a little bit, Joel, though, about what our government should do. How should Washington handle this?
Well, in some ways, we're seeing the federal government make the right decisions. We've seen the Centers for Disease Control working in an organized, methodical manner, along with coordination with state and local authorities. That is a role of government to help contain the spread of an epidemic such as this. So that's wonderful. I think that we are learning from some of the lessons coming out of China, where the Chinese government acted incredibly irresponsibly early on with the lack of transparency, eventual lack of containment, and that has had health consequences and economic consequences, not just in China, of course, but now across the globe. And we need to be careful not to repeat the mistakes. And from what I can see, we are not repeating those mistakes. Unfortunately, we've also seen a number of proposals to help on the economic side that actually would not result in the intended results. So we've seen proposals from both the left from Democrats and Republicans in the form of huge stimulus programs. So what we believe is that in this type of a situation, we should have any type of congressional fiscal aid. It should be targeted. It needs to be temporary. And it really preferably should be targeted at aiding, directly aiding public health efforts.
Okay. So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. But what you mean is like no payroll tax reductions like Trump wants?
Well, yeah, payroll tax reduction. I understand the intentions are good, right? You know, the intention is to stoke economic activity. The problem is this is not this is an epidemic where you have a demand problem where people are fearful, either rationally or irrationally, but sometimes people need to stay home out of precaution. Sometimes people just are afraid to go out. A payroll tax cut, freeze, that's going to be borrowing money, giving to people, and then those individuals aren't going to be more inclined to be out there because of that. And then second of all, this is a supply problem where we have factories that are shut down in parts of the globe. We're waiting for those to come back online. There's some positive indications that's happening. But a payroll tax cut isn't going to magically make those items reappear. And then over the longer term, the types of tax reductions that result in growth are reductions on savings, on investment, on capital gains and on income. This doesn't accomplish that.
So we've got even China now. I don't know, maybe not helping the situation. First of all, let's be honest, China failed to be upfront. They probably knew about the infection before publicly saying that they had a virus situation going on. And now, perhaps from what I'm reading, they may withhold some pharmaceuticals from the United States. And now part of this might be because of Trump's trade barrier decisions with China. I don't know, but this has got to affect fiscal policy to some extent. I mean, there's a lot of things for the government to factor in here.
Well, there are quite a few, and the fact is we're very interconnected across the globe. That's actually helped us, and helped all levels across society over the past 40 years. We're better off because of it. But in this type of a situation, it adds additional complications to the system. With some of our sectors are very reliant on imports from our trading partners, and I am in no way saying that that's something that we should scrap. That has been a benefit, but it's something that our economy is going to have to deal with and adjust over the coming weeks. And that's part of the reason why you've seen the market so incredibly volatile. It's not just the health scare. A lot of it is we're trying to figure out, well, which parts of the economy are going to be most impacted by this, and for how long. But I really want to get back to your point, too, earlier about 401k. We need to always remember that for this, these investments, we should be well-diversified and also come at it with the understanding that we've had 11 epidemics over the past 35 years across the globe. The markets have recovered in all those instances. And, of course, that doesn't necessarily mean this time is going to be exactly the same. The fact that we're in a bear market now, that's definitely, it gives people a lot of room for caution. But over the longer term, we have a structurally sound economy. We've made some great moves in the right direction with comprehensive tax reform and regulatory rollback, and that will continue to pay dividends, both metamorphically and actual dividends, into the coming years.
We're talking with Joel Griffith. He's a research fellow in the Rowe Institute at the Heritage Foundation, and we're talking about policy responses to the economic consequences of the coronavirus. You know, Joel, it's because we don't know the end date of this thing. I really think that if we knew when this thing would dissipate, a lot of this trouble and worry would be gone. I don't know that the stock market would be so volatile. By the way, it's up to 967, so it's going forward. But we don't know. We don't know if this thing's going to last a year. We don't know when is it going to crest. We don't know, right?
Well, a lot of this has been varying, too, from country to country. If you look at the way China handled it versus the way Singapore and South Korea handled it, for instance, Singapore actually, as of yesterday, has had no fatalities from this. They're successfully treating individuals and then making sure that those who have come into contact with them are met with as well to see if they're at a higher risk. And you have other countries such as Italy that were caught very flat-footed, and of course they have a much more elderly population, and they're seeing higher mortality rates. So a lot of this is dependent on how we treat it. You know, if you can look at what happened in I think it was in Wuhan, where the critical care beds, I think there were about 110 critical care beds available at the time of the outbreak for millions of people. Well, that's not sufficient. Hopefully, we are going to be better prepared for that. And we had the NIH director, he gave a press conference today, the National Institutes of Health director, and he said he was not sure that we'd actually have to have a national shutdown such as Italy, but if we did, it would be from 2 to 8 weeks. So this type of data is helping us get an understanding of how much of a slowdown we'll have, how long it'll last, but all indications are that this would be a V-shaped recovery. In other words, we'd have a sharp kind of correction and then a sharp bounce back, because unlike the financial crisis, this has not been sparked by a credit problem or a particular asset bubble. This has been a scare over this epidemic, something related to Mother Nature that we can hopefully relatively quickly recover from.
There is some good news. Apparently, Italy is adapting, and they are turning the corner. If this is true on this coronavirus situation, you know how badly they were hit. The northern village, where I guess you could call it was coronavirus central, shows signs that they may have turned the corner. Also in China, apparently, around Wuhan and wherever else there. It's starting to dissipate a little bit, if you can believe what you're hearing. So if that's the case, it sounds like perhaps this thing, you know, is being, you know what I mean? It's not going to have a long shelf life. What do you think?
Yeah, governments seem to be coming together to address this. So we've seen epidemics before. We saw this is actually a type of SARS. We saw the SARS outbreak about more than 10 years ago. And we have seen recovery. Something that we proposed, the Heritage Foundation, is actually called the Epidemic Tax Credit, and that would allow companies that are forced to let employees go or have employees just not be at the office, employees that can't even work remotely. We propose, instead of doing this massive spending program, why not give these employers a tax credit in the zones that are actually declared emergencies where employees have to go home? So rather than lay them off or terminate that employment, or have these employees risk, if they're ill, risk coming in, go ahead and have these temporary, very transparent, very targeted tax credits that are directed towards employers in order to minimize both the unemployment fallout from this, from a temporary situation, and also to minimize the risk of those that should be staying home contaminating others. And we think that's something Congress should take a look at.
Indeed. My partner, Big Ed Davis, wants to ask you a question, I believe, Joel.
Well, more of a comment, Joel. I don't know if you saw that officially yesterday that here in Florida, Disney World shut down all operations along with MGM and all those studios, and all employees are going to be paid through the end of the month.
Yeah, I think that shows that some of the confidence that some of these entertainment centers have that this might be relatively short-lived as far as the dramatic actions. And that seems to be in alignment with the NIH director was saying, where if we had a national kind of a quasi-shutdown, it would be for several weeks. It seems to be that some of these major entertainment centers are thinking if they go ahead and close temporarily, they can weather the storm and come back in 3 to 5 weeks.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that may be a positive during this crisis is that we already have a goodly number of people that actually work from home. They work on their computers. They work on the phone. They don't go to an office. Now, if we had been if this thing hit back in the 50s or the 60s.
Or even the 90s.
Or even the 90s. With a goodly number of people, you know, are pulled away from their jobs and they don't have any way of continuing the work. But now we can go home with our computers and continue the work. So I'm thinking that that's going to help us turn the corner too, right?
No, that's an excellent point. Our productivity overall has continued to increase. We're at all-time levels of productivity. A lot of that, and the majority of that, is due to enhanced technology. And that is one of the benefits that we have now, is that a lot of people, especially in white-collar jobs, have the ability to be just as productive, if not more productive, actually working from their homes. And that is going to help really limit some of the negative economic impact, and not trying to minimize that impact, but it is going to help contain that.
Indeed, and keep the virus from spreading. I mean, there's goodly reason to be thinking of it that way as well. Joel, it's a pleasure to talk with you. I bet you're a one busy guy right now with all of this going on, so we really thank you for taking the time with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Joel Griffith of the Heritage Foundation. Very interesting. All right. Let us take our break. When we come back, we talked about the fact that China may threaten to withhold life-saving drugs from the U.S. as the infection seems to be slowing in China. We're going to talk about all of this and how America should respond with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceraci.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back, Friday the 13th, and we got a virus in our midst.
Hmm.
Kind of makes you want to stay in bed.
Well, some people did. This morning when I was doing traffic, it looked like a weekend.
Did it?
Yeah. And there were no problems on any of the bridges this morning, which is so rare.
Good
and
news.
And a few traffic problems around town, mainly the beaches getting clogged up. But you could tell that either people were scared or just... You know, just people just wanted to have an excuse to take the day off.
I think partly you're right there, too. Wow. Well, the stock market, by the way, is up 826 points. Maybe because we have Andrew the Master Barber. He's bringing us good luck. Andrew, China is kind of sticking its thumb in the eye of the United States. First, there's a chance they may withhold some pharmaceuticals, life-saving drugs. And you know how much is made there. And secondly, they're starting to turn things around to make it sound like Trump and the United States is responsible for the virus.
The day the earth stood still, Paul.
Yeah.
You
it's
believe
kinda like
this,
that.
Paul. Let me tell you something.
Okay.
China and the United States are at war right now. People don't realize it. Okay. I have always said, and you know me from the day we met, I believe that the United States should be self-sufficient. What weapons does China even got to worry about making? They make 95% of our drugs. They can kill half the population, three-quarters of the population has some kind of pharmaceutical.
Well, I think that's they actually have us by the short hairs right now, don't you think?
It's our own fault, Paul. It's our own politicians that let this happen. Okay? I mean, it started when I was a kid. But to have our drugs, you know... If you want to have a water faucet made over there, that's one thing. Besides the fact that it's crap because I use a bunch of them, I mean, how good can their pills be?
Yeah, you have
we should
to worry
be manufacturing
about
this stuff here. We should have done this a long time ago.
Well, we used to. We used to.
I know we did, but they sold their soul for the money, Paul.
Well, they did.
I mean, Clinton with his NAFTA treaty. That was it, brother. That was it. Do you remember Ross Perot saying one famous line?
A giant sucking
sound. If you guys sign those NAFTA treaties, the last sound you will hear is a vacuum cleaner sucking all the jobs out of your country.
Yeah,
they not only did that, they made them stronger than we are just because we depend on them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We're dependent. How stupid are the American people to let this happen, Paul?
Here's what Marco Rubio says about all of this. He says this threat by China does not come as a surprise. He said that America is dangerously reliant on China for the production of critical goods, including parts for technologies needed to fight the coronavirus. He says if China makes good on its threat to cut off the United States, the results could be crippling.
That's right. That's right. They have the weapons, Paul.
I thought Trump.
We need to jump on the gun right now. We need to get production going. We need to build factories. We need to take care of our own here. I mean, I got an argument with a guy the other day in the barbershop. He didn't believe me that 95% of our pharmaceuticals were made in China. Okay?
I would never.
And you know what? We're the ones that taught China everything. They stole our ideas. They copied them. I believe we can do a lot better than them, and we're going to have to do it. We're at war right now. The people better realize this. And you know what? They're winning because look at the panic attack in this country, Paul. It's terrible. Everything's shutting down, closing down. Come on. I've never seen this in my life. Even when I was a kid when they had the missile crisis and we had ducking covers, it never got like this.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
the American people are led by a handful of people. They're like a bunch of sheep, Paul, and they need to get off of this.
All I'm thinking about is if I got into an argument or you got into an argument with some of your patrons and you're cutting their hair, by the time you were through with them, they would look like the North Korean president's haircut. I don't think I think I would not argue with you while I'm getting my haircut.
You got no idea. Friday or the other day, I was in there. A last customer comes in at 4:45, and he looks at Trump and he goes, "Oh, I guess we must be on the opposite sides of the team." That he's nothing but a freaking liar, right?
Now,
so I was nice. I was nice at first. He sat in the chair and I says, "Well, you know what? Explain to me what he lied to you about, you know? And you know what you hear?" So the guy proceeds to tell me, "Well, he's no good." I says, "Again, try to convince me." Now this time I said, "Listen, if this gets heavy, don't worry about your haircut, because I won't give you a crappy haircut, no matter what."
No, you wouldn't. Seriously, you wouldn't.
Paul,
I know you
this
wouldn't.
Guy, I could not believe it. He happened to be Jewish to boot.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen anything like it in my life. By the time I was done with this guy, my blood pressure was 3,000 over 20.
Oh, God.
Okay?
Oh, my.
I mean, it just amazes me how stupid some of the people can be.
Yeah.
It just amazes
First of
me.
All, again, I wouldn't say anything politically if I disagreed with you, if you were going to cut my hair. But let everybody know, when you go... His barbershop is absolutely beautiful, by the way. You got to visit it. He's got a life size poster of not a cutout. What do you call it? Of Donald Trump there.
It's a life size Donald Trump, buddy.
It looks like, and it's the same height as Donald Trump. I've talked with it. He does not respond, but I share my opinions. And
you know, Paul, he's doing a great job, Paul, handling this thing, especially for all this crap going on.
Well, he sure
the
is
media
doing something.
Is pushing this stuff. Oh, my God. Everybody's going to die. But you know what? My barbershop is open today. I have plenty of Lysol spray. And you can come in, and I've got plenty of toilet paper. And you can come in, get a great haircut.
Oh, absolutely.
Get sprayed down with Lysol and go use my Hillary toilet paper in my bathroom. I got plenty of it.
You got it. And the thing is that when people come in, seriously, come into your barbershop, they'll actually leave healthier because you will have wiped down everything. And so they would be in better shape. They can even wash their hands if they want to.
Well, one thing I'm very proud of is the Florida inspector comes in my shop, and he happens to be a retired Army, okay?
Yeah.
So this guy's a fanatic nut.
Oh, yeah.
He comes in, and he tells me, you know what? He goes, "I go to every barber shop around here in Pinellas County." He goes, "I got to tell you, you've got the cleanest barber shop
you do.
I've ever."
And I should make note of that. It's spotless when I go in there. I'm not kidding you. You could eat off the floor. I have never seen your barbershop when it wasn't neat and clean. And I know it's because of you, and you make sure it's that way.
No, we try, Paul.
Oh, you do?
You know what? We're in that barbershop, I'm trying my best to keep this country straight. But it's embarrassing to see the way the American people are handling all this thing. Panic. It really is. Imagine if there was a real crisis.
Well, your buddy Sleepy Joe Biden has got some ideas. He unveiled a plan to combat and overcome the coronavirus. I hope you were taking notes. He, let's see here. Downplaying it, being overly dismissive, or spreading misinformation is only going to hurt us, he says, and further advantage the spread of the disease. But he says neither should we panic or fall back on xenophobia. He says labeling COVID-19 a foreign virus does not displace accountability for the misjudgments that have been taken thus far by the Trump administration. I knew he would put a poke a stick in the eye of Donald Trump at some point in this.
You know, Paul, you look at how they try to take down this poor man. The Russian collusion, okay, the Mueller report, trying to take Kavanaugh, what they put him through to get in there. They tried everything, Paul. Impeachment, they made him stronger. Now the people better realize what's going on here. It's a pattern. This guy's going to pull this off, and you watch what's going to happen. We're going to learn not to be reliant on China. I mean, pardon my French, but screw these other countries, Paul. It's time America takes care of America.
We're talking with Andrew the Master Barber. He is the proprietor of the only poll that really makes a difference as far as mainstream America is concerned, the Barber Poll. Andrew, Donald Trump has stopped people from Europe from coming to the United States. I mean, that's it. They can't come over. I think he's allowing certain people from England to come over.
But as long as it's only certain people, because I was a little bit nervous about that, saying to myself, why would he keep England over there? People can come from Italy, wherever they want, hop on Heathrow, come over.
Well, of course, they would trace their ticket and everything as they come through, but that's a good point. And why, indeed, does Britain kind of get a little bit of a yellow light rather than a red light?
That's right. You know, no partiality, man. But whatever his reason is, I'm quite sure it's a decent one.
Do you think
we need to play along with it?
Mm-hmm. Do you think mainstream America, the general John Q. public guy, is looking at all of this and saying, you know what? Donald Trump is trying to do something. So why don't they stop bashing him?
Because, Paul, this was all meant to be against him, period. They're trying everything. Paul, they're trying so much. Honestly, I'm surprised they haven't tried an assassination attempt yet with this poor man.
By the way,
yes. I mean, they've tried everything, and I wouldn't doubt you'll see it try and happen eventually. They're so desperate.
Well, you know,
and I'm telling you, they're going to try to put, they're putting Biden in there, and they're going to have Hillary as his vice president. You mark my words, because they think maybe the two of them together can pull enough votes to defeat Trump. See what happens.
You know, there's been all kinds of theories. If Biden were to win, I'll be honest with you, I got an email from somebody I know pretty well that said, here's what they're going to do. The doctor will declare Biden unfit, his own doctor, which will allow somebody like John Kerry to step up and become president. What do you think about that idea?
Nah, man. Kerry's one of the most hated people in the world.
Okay, so it's not going to be him.
Nah, he's a traitor. He's everything, man. Please. Mm-hmm. But it's got to be Biden and Hillary. You know, they think those two can pull enough votes together to beat Trump.
Do you still hold to the theory that China might have intentionally released the virus?
Of course.
You do?
Listen, they are our enemy, Paul. They can try to all this globalism clap that they want. The only thing that's going to ever unite this world is Orson Welles' War of the Worlds. We got to get attacked by aliens, okay?
Yes.
Otherwise, the Chinese are going to fight. The Arabs are going to fight. They've been fighting for centuries. It's never going to stop. Everybody wants to have power. Everybody wants to live like we do, okay? Period.
You know, I actually can bolster some of your thinking about this, not entirely, but there is now word that there was a medical clinic or facility in Wuhan, China, that was actually testing the virus, and it got loose. Not that they intentionally set it upon people outside, but that they were working with that virus inside that medical place. So there is some truth to the fact that it might have been not just an accidental, you know what I mean?
Well, look at the two professors this week from Harvard that got caught with China making biological labs with them. The two students that were there, one was a lieutenant in the Chinese Army. Come on. Mm-hmm. And they caught one of them trying to leave the country with 22 vials or something. You don't hear much about it, do you?
I'm beginning to remember. Do you remember that story that ran here in Tampa Bay about the connection? I think it was the Moffitt Hospital, the Moffitt Clinic, the connection with China, because they had sent over some doctors that were working here. Do you remember that little story? Maybe you don't. You don't remember that, do you?
I don't remember that, Paul. Well, but you know what?
Well, I'm beginning to wonder. I mean, I'm beginning to become a little bit like you, a little bit of a conspiratorial theorist here.
Paul, it's all there in front of you. The world is not nice, Paul. These people that believe, oh, we're going to be friendly and peace and love, you know what? They're nuts. It's never going to happen.
Well, I know one thing.
Who has the most toilet paper. Believe me.
Yeah, you're right. I know one thing. You're nice. You've always been nice. You're a nice guy. And you tell it like you believe it. And you're the best hair cutter I've ever been around. And that's the
truth. You know, Paul, I'm a proud American, Paul. I came from an Italian immigrant family that worked the rear ends off. Still work our rear ends off. You know what I mean?
I do.
Honor. And you know that when I told you that customer the other day, he made me blow a head gasket because he was Jewish and I couldn't stand the way he was talking. I said, let me tell you something. Look on that wall there. This is my father's picture. My father drove a Sherman tank and he was there when they liberated Auschwitz and, you know, released all your paisans, my friend.
Yeah.
So I don't understand where you get this garbage from. He took two bullets for your people.
Yeah.
You people do not appreciate nothing. You better start learning.
Mm-hmm.
I blew a head gasket. I couldn't help it, though.
No, I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. It is always a pleasure to talk with you. I always feel better when I talk with you, Andrew. And we'll be talking Tuesday. Don't forget, we'll be talking.
Boy, it's going to be a boring weekend.
Oh, I don't think so. Well, it's going to be a
boring... I told everybody they're going to come home and start working in the yard.
Really?
They got nowhere to go, Paul.
You think they're really going to take your advice and work in the yard?
They got no choice. I'm going to block their cars in with my pickup truck, and they're going to be outside digging.
Well, you know what? Maybe that's a good thing.
It is. It keeps them in line.
Yeah.
It builds character.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, actually, there is a positive to all of this. I think that people perhaps are going to rely on each other a little bit more and, you know, get out of that syndrome we've been in. So anyway, Andrew, thank you so much.
Paul, God has a plan, believe me.
I think you're right.
You have a good weekend, my friend.
You too. There he goes. The master barber himself, Andrew. Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, among other things, California may vote for Donald Trump for president. We're going to tell you why.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
are back for the final segment here on a Friday, the 13th of Freedom Works. We're here, by the way, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. on the great Tantalk Radio Network. Well, would you be surprised to hear that California might be thinking of Donald Trump as a person to vote for? Well, think about this. California's residents pay some of the highest taxes in the country. The gasoline that they pump, the price is like over $4 a gallon. We're very fortunate here. I don't know what it is right now. It's about $2.09. It's close to, is it going down or up, Ed? Ed keeps an eye on it.
I actually, on my phone, I have an app there. It's in some places $1.98.
No kidding.
Yeah.
It broke the $2 barrier.
Yep.
So, and you're in California, and it's like, when I was out there the last time, $4.
Oh, yeah.
$4 a gallon. Think about that.
I remember when it was like the high $2-$3 here, and then we went out to California, and it was almost Thorst. Five.
Yeah.
Almost five.
So they're used to paying high prices, you know, for what? For the treat of living in California? Well, now it ain't such a great place anymore. And the defeat this week of the largest borrowing proposal in the history of California schools, a $15 billion proposal to repair the schools, went down. They said, no, we've had enough. And it's beginning to look that people have become fed up with the high taxes they are paying. Voters have rejected more than half of the 237 local tax and bond measures in the Golden State. So it's kind of like people, you know, you can only slap them around so much. You really can. And after a while, they start saying, you know what? This is not working. Now, they got a Democratic governor by the name of Gavin Newsom, who for all practical purposes doesn't like Donald Trump, although he has given the Trump administration a great deal of credit for the way they are working with California on the coronavirus. So let's give credit where credit is due on that. But other than that, things are not going well out there, and I think people we'll look at all of the expenses that they have, the cost of maintaining their homes, the cost of buying a home, the way their major cities are starting to turn into trash dumps, and they're going to say, you know, something's wrong here. Something is wrong here. And they're going to try something new. So I'm just wondering. I'm not saying that California is going to vote for Donald Trump overall, but I will be very interested to see how many people there, in comparison to the last time, we'll vote for Trump in 2020. We will see. Never know.
They said a lot of people are leaving California for Texas.
They are. Not just Texas. They're leaving for Nevada. They're leaving for Arizona. They're leaving for Idaho. All of those, and all of those states, by the way, are right-to-work states. That's another reason.
Mm.
You know? Jobs are available there. And when you're spitting in the face of these people that are making money for you, as in the businesses that are in California, so many businesses are picking up and leaving, you know. You can only suck them for so long. Look, look what's happened to New York and New Jersey and Massachusetts with their companies. Illinois, you know, they're going somewhere else. They want to go where the, you know, where they can make a profit. They don't have to worry about all of this nonsense.
No.
Anyway, enough about that. It is time, Ed, for you to get the heck over to the drums, because I got a great one for you. And Ed, I want to see, and I think you should be able to pick the number one greatest movie of all time, but we're going to find out. This comes from newarena.com. And, of course, everybody has their favorites, right? So we can't say this is the ultimate, but it's kind of fun. And this is what they think. The top 10 greatest films of all time. Number 10. Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
Judy Garland. You saw that as a kid, did you not, Ed?
I did, and I watched it recently because it's been remastered and all that. It looks great.
It does look great. The color in that is absolutely gorgeous, and the scene where it goes from black and white to color, I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
Beautiful. It was made in 1939, made a star out of Judy Garland.
Did you see it when it first came out?
I knew you would say some cheap shot like that. I saw it just the day after it came out, okay? Remind me to slap you silly when I got a chance.
I saw it in the drive-in when it first came out.
Yeah, I was in my Model T. And you know what? I had to crank the car up because I couldn't start it after a while. I saw the silent version. Yeah. Did you know there really was a silent version of The Wizard of Oz? And no, I wasn't around for that, but there was a silent version.
Really?
Yeah, before. All right, you got me off.
Number nine.
Let's see if... Yeah. Thank you, Ed. I want to see, Ed, also, if you've seen all of these movies. Number nine is Frankenstein. It made a hero...
1939 one or something?
The 1931.
Oh, 31?
Yeah. It made it brought Boris Karloff his greatest fame mm-hmm. as the monster, and it was iconic, I guess is what you would say. I mean, it scared the heck out of a lot of people when they saw it the first time. Number eight. This is one a lot of people haven't seen, but I would strongly recommend it. Seven Samurai.
I haven't seen that.
It was made in 1954, Japanese, and it was the reason or... The Magnificent Seven was based on it. Mm. So Magnificent Seven came out, I think, in 61, 7 years later. But it's a great movie. Number seven, King Kong. Ever see that, Ed?
The original?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On television?
Yeah.
Wasn't that great stuff? It was fun. 1933, that movie was made. There was a lot of iconic movies made in the 30s. So far, one, two, three out of the four that we just did were made in the 30s. Okay, number six. Here's another 30s movie, Gone with the Wind. You've seen it, right?
No.
You're kidding!
I don't want to see it. There's
Why
too much,
not?
Because there's too much singing in it.
There's no singing in it.
There's not? Well,
you don't even know what it's about, do you? It's not a musical. It's not a musical.
Oh, it's a chick flick, isn't it?
It's, yeah.
Okay.
It's a little bit of a chick flick, but it's great. It's a well-done movie. Clark Gable and Vivian Leigh are in it, and Olivia de Havilland. He's yawning while I'm telling you this. Number five, get back on the bench. Casablanca. You haven't seen that?
Man, do we have anything from this
century? We're going to.
Okay.
We're going to.
Okay.
All right. Did you see Casablanca?
No.
Okay. Humphrey Bogart, 1942. Number four. I bet you saw this because I think this is your kind of movie. Psycho.
The original?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you see it?
Bits and pieces of it.
You didn't see the whole thing? Scary movie. Mm-hmm. Alfred Hitchcock, 1960. Anthony Perkins. Okay. Number three. You'll like this one, Ed. Star Wars.
Which one?
The first.
Okay.
1977. Did you like it?
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. A New Hope.
It was a trend-setting movie, was it not?
Yes.
Okay. Number two. Here's one that was really a trend-setting movie. 2001, A Space Odyssey. Have you ever seen that one?
That movie was slow for me.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to give them credit. The technical effects in that movie, you know, for 1968,
sure.
The way they did that, they must have spent a great deal of money. It really looked good. All right, Ed. Here we go. I want you to tell me.
I have no idea.
Yes, you do.
All right, I'll shout in the dark. I'll say Titanic.
Well, roll the drums. That's a good guess. That is, really.
Mm-hmm.
The number one movie was The Godfather.
You know, I've never seen that.
You're kidding, Ed.
Not front to back. I haven't seen front to end.
Not Godfather 2. I'm talking about Godfather 1.
I've got 1, 2, and 3 in my library, and I've never watched them all.
Three doesn't compare. One and two are great. I would agree. The Godfather might be the greatest movie ever made. All right. Thank you for joining us. We will be back on Monday. Drive safely, and remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
Coronavirus pandemic.